So much we want to get to with Dallas here, but let's start with this Blue Jays team, who is like obviously the weakest team, both record wise and I think talent wise, in the American League playoff field. But they have a bright future, no doubt. They've got a bunch of young players. What does carryover mean in this season? Like 1 year to the next, is there actually something that can be taken from this year, the experiences of this year, and actually applied going forward, accelerating the timeline for these guys?
You bet your sweet baby, boys. There's no doubt that you have to put stock in what these dudes are going to experience and have already experienced up to this point, because there's hurdles. There's adversity around here, and we all understand that that's how you grow, right? It's kind of like the difference between the shade and the sun. Shade, it's awfully comfortable there. Nothing grows in the shade. You got to get out under those rays. Get some vitamin D in you. Well, you have to experience these lulls. You have to experience losing a guy for a little while, going through a skid, because therein lies the challenge, and that's when guys figure out how they work. Can they work through their struggles on their own? Do they need to spend more time in the cage with help? Is it a video thing? Those are things that you love to find out about yourself, because that's how you start to fix these things as they continue to pop up throughout the course of your career. I talk about pitchers having to be their own best pitching coach. Once they get to a high-level amateur level, they have to start figuring out how to adjust themselves. You get into pro ball, same thing. But for this team to experience these things all together, as young as they are, I can sort of use the Oakland A's as a model of experience. A lot of those young guys played in A-ball together, double-A, triple-A. They all came up together. They experienced growth together. They got to the big leagues together, and they took their lumps there together. And now we're talking about an Oakland A's team that is, you know, one of the best in baseball right now. And that has to do with the growth that they experienced as a group. And that is what I see here in the Jays, is they have arrived a little early, right? You're going to be knocking down the door in the playoffs. And that has to do with how good this club is. But the point that you guys have made early on, talking about maybe the lack of total overall talent and where they're at limping into the playoffs, that could have to do with their age as well. So you're getting some seasoning here, and that matters, because when you're ready to throw them on the grill next year, they're going to be ready to cook. They're going to be ready to go. They've been marinating for a while.
That A's team, a little too good for my liking last night, had the under 9.5, had to score two runs in the bottom of the ninth. They like just couldn't. Had to have it beat both those runs just off, you know, trying to, like, had to do it. Fine, A's.
Man
good.
Of the people, yeah. Talking about the Oakland A's game last night. There's so many people in our listening audience are like, thank you, mention the two runs in the ninth inning.
Maybe some other people had the under as well, okay? Thought, good bullpen, shut it down. No, wasn't the case. All right. Ugh. Yeah, I guess we talk a lot about this carryover stuff, and we talk a lot about offseason stuff with the Jays because, man, they're not going to win this year. Not even in a fluky season. They just don't have the pitching. They don't have the arms. They basically have Hyunjin Ryu, Taiwan Walker, and then we're like, maybe they're going to get three or four innings from Matt Shoemaker and then go to the bullpen. And after that, it's basically, I think Robbie Ray is now kind of positioning himself as the fourth guy. Like, if they do get into a series. And yeah, the stuff sometimes can be lights out, but the control's been an issue all season long. And so, yeah, we're just kind of trying to put the pieces together as to what exactly is going to happen here. But we talked to Jim Bowden the other day, and he was mentioning how everybody's going to be cutting payroll and that players are in for a rude awakening. I know that you're a guy who still talks to a lot of players. Do they get that same sense too? Is that the general consensus, that guys are getting ready and bracing themselves for an offseason where there's not going to be a lot of money to be had?
Why do you think the fight was what it was at the beginning of this season? Because they understand. Players are not stupid. That's just a fact. We do the homework. And we have people that are in charge of going to battle for the players' union doing that homework as well. This isn't just showing up and waiting for some sort of spiel on what we deserve and this is how it's going to. We're very, when I say we, I use that as a, just as a former player, very prepared for what is coming. That doesn't mean that you have to accept it. That doesn't mean you have to like it. And that doesn't mean you have to give an ounce of the ground that as a players union we have fought and bled for so long at the negotiating table. And I have been saying this for years now. This is how baseball is going to implement their own salary cap if it's never going to be agreed upon. They will continue to find a way to turn over rosters and eliminate players that have achieved a certain earning power and a certain earning status. They will find a way to devalue that player to the point where nobody's interested in that player. And you will start to see almost like three-man platoons at positions because the cost effectiveness is going to make more sense than it is to pay a veteran player. And I always go back to Adam Jones, a guy who's been raking overseas, who was looked at as a complete and total afterthought. This guy couldn't help anybody on anybody's roster. I feel like Adam Jones could probably help a few teams, maybe even some of these fringe teams that we're talking about. So yep. Stuff like that is exactly what these players are prepared for. But like I said, that doesn't mean we have to accept it. So that's why when the folks at home who are just, you know, in passing from one room to another hear the bickering that's going on the television between billionaires and millionaires, I can totally understand why you just want to turn that noise off. You don't want to hear any of that. Not now, especially not in these times. But that's the livelihood of these players, and that's what they have to fight for. And if you understand what it's like to feel like your boss or the owner of your company isn't really thinking about you and hasn't really put you in the forefront of their business plans moving forward financially, you've been feeling that. Well, that's exactly how these players feel. And you're going, but Dallas, that's a lot of money we're talking about. There's some commas in those paychecks. That's not the same for us. I understand it. This conversation is all relative and it's scaled. So if we understand that, then you have to understand why these players will continue to go to battle for what they deserve.
Yeah, and baseball just signed a new TV deal with Turner that pays them 65% more than the previous deal. So, yeah, even in a pandemic, the owners ain't hurting. But this is, I mean, to go back to another topic of conversation we have with Jim Bowden about the expanded playoffs, that I was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, CBA, that'll be probably part of the thing that they negotiate after next season because the CBA's up. And he's like, nope. This is they're going to present this to the players coming up for next season. And my understanding, Dallas, and listen, you got to tell me if I'm right or wrong here, is that the players, while they would love the idea of more revenue into the sport and more playoff shares for those teams that get into the playoffs, but they're afraid of the thing that you kind of alluded to, that if there's more playoff teams, that the impetus for the top teams to really go hard at adding a bunch of players for the long haul of 162 games and hand out all those contracts won't be there. What do players think of the expanded playoffs idea? Do you think they're going to be for it if it's presented for them for next year?
I just told you we ain't dumb. And if you, and when I say, I'm obviously not saying if you because you're a dummy. No, I'm saying it's that obvious. it's that obvious that you can, that's what it is. You can boil it down that simply, that quickly. Took you about 30 seconds. And that's not any more detailed than that. Because if I don't have to pay players as much anymore, and I'm now even more competitive than I was without paying players, why would I ever entertain the idea of putting together a roster worth more than $75 million when that can get me to the tournament that would see me make more money? Why would I do that? Return on investment. So that's exactly what would happen. Drive the total cost of the players down so that the rosters don't have to be constructed in such a fashion where players are being played and compensated. So you're not going to see these extended deals. Why would I need to lock up a guy for 7 years? Why do I need to lock up a guy for 10 years? A decade? I can make the playoffs 8 out of those 10 years being a 500 team. What incentive do I have to pay anybody, anything? So think about that. It's really just going to be a race to who wants to pay the Mike Trouts, the Mike Trout money, the Gerrit Cole, the Gerrit Cole money. After that, there's going to be a massive chasm between the individuals who get paid to play the game well, and maybe you don't have their baseball card pinned on your wall, those guys are going to take a huge hit, a huge hit. And you already saw the owners try those highly compensated players and the others in the negotiation tactics earlier this season.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. And I hate the idea of expanded playoffs because, you know,
there's no other way to see it. There is no other way to see it. That is what it is. And you can try to put perfume all over that pig and run it out here in the middle of this room. I'm going to smell it before it even gets in the doorway.
Yeah. I hope you're right, and I hope the players push back. Not that I want like a work stoppage or something, but the idea that, yeah, they would just sign off on whatever, another 16-team playoff field for next year sucks. So it's good to have the inkling that that might not happen. I want to pivot back to the Jays for a second because we teased this, that we were going to ask you this earlier on in the show. I don't know if you've paid attention to Alejandro Kirk and who he is and what he's done in his brief time.
Yes.
In the majors.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, my heart skipped a beat wondering if you had, because, yeah, well, he's now the face of Major League Baseball. We always do this, right? Like, now that Derek Jeter's gone, who's the face? It's Alejandro Kirk, like, obviously. Yeah. Like, we have a small sample size, but now it's obviously Alejandro Kirk. He's going to be on the cover of all the video games. Doesn't matter. Yeah, all 5'6", 260 pounds of him. So he has this incredible two-game stretch where he goes 4-for-4, hits his first home run, then gets a hit off Gerrit Cole. And then the other catcher, Danny Jansen, has his best offensive game when he gets back in the lineup, his next opportunity. Is that just a coincidence? Do you believe in guys being pushed and that actually resulting in positive results?
Absolutely. Nobody out here trying to get Wally pipped. You know what I'm saying? Nobody is trying to get, well, I'm not trying to give up a day off for you to come in and show what you can do, because now you're the flavor of the week and I'm stuck in the ice. I'm stuck in the freezer. Like, no. There is a very real impact to that. Absolutely. Because you are literally watching one individual take food off of your table and put it on his table. And that's your teammate, and that really sucks. That's a horrible feeling. So you don't ever want to give anybody the opportunity to take your steak off your plate. And that's exactly what that feels like. So your name's in that lineup the next day. You're a little more amped up than maybe a couple days before, because you've just seen this dude start to rake. You've seen him capture the fan base by storm. He's got him eaten out of the palm of his hand. You've got people talking about video game covers, and obviously there's some jest to that, but that's the sort of momentum that he creates, right, that he's created. And you mean to tell me that the guy who was in that position before isn't seeing that? He's thinking, well, where's the love for me? Like, well, oh, that's right, I haven't done that, what this kid just did. So I've got to show up and show out next time I get the opportunity. Boom, career ball game. There's no doubt about it in my mind that there's motivation there. No doubt.